Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
Scandalous. Boundary breaking. Shocking, even. Costly. Unmerited. Doesn't make sense. Abundant. Extravagant, even. Prophetic. Filled with foreshadowing and a little bit morbid. Fragile. Sacred. Tender. Loving. All these words could describe the action, the actions of this woman at the feast when she anoints Jesus as if for burial, when she pours oil or nard upon him, drying it or wiping it away with her hair, while other people look on, shocked. Absolutely shocked. You don't touch other people in public, ever. And if you're a woman, you definitely don't touch a man in public, ever. It'd be great, in fact, if you don't ever touch a man who's not a member of your immediate family, ever. Ever. And this woman does. In the midst of a dinner party, in the midst of a gathering of polite society, this she does. It is scandalous, I tell you. It is actually rude. It breaks every boundary, it breaks every expectation. It's not acceptable in that time or place. It would probably not be acceptable today. Somebody's over having dinner at your house and someone just kind of like came in and started washing their feet and like wiping their hair all over them, we'd think that was strange. It was very strange. Costly. Costly. This oil or this ointment was incredibly costly. Could feed people for days and days and days. The cost of it. It's not a good cost-benefit analysis. It doesn't make sense in that way. And it doesn't make sense in other ways, too. Like, if it's an anointing for death, why are you doing it to somebody who's alive? If it's a healing or anointing, why is it not a priest that is doing it? Why someone else? But if it's not a healing or an anointing, then it should be like what's done at death, and then it should be a member of the family, and we're back to that whole boundary-breaking, scandalous thing again. It doesn't make sense. Except it carries this sense of foreboding, this prophetic nature. Jesus interprets it as prophetic, right? He says, "She has saved this for the time of my death," which is not yet upon him, but is coming closer. And in that way, it's a little bit morbid. It's a little bit morbid, like when we sing at the Epiphany, and we're all talking about baby Jesus and the kings coming to visit baby Jesus, and we sing "We Three Kings," and then we get to the verse that we often skip a lot because it's creepy. "Myrrh is mine, that bitter perfume breeds an air of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, sobbing, wailing, something, dying, sealed in a stone-cold tomb." We're talking about baby Jesus. That's morbid. That's morbid, right? There's this prophetic edge to it, which is always a little uncomfortable prophecy, always a little bit weird and strange prophecy, and in this case, a little bit morbid. A foreshadowing of Jesus' death, which he welcomes and embraces, both the foreshadowing and perhaps his looming death. But we don't talk about that in polite company. She has done what will actually never be able to happen for him, anoint his body for death, for burial. Remember, it's women going on the first day of the week to anoint his body, who discover that it's already missing. So he never gets to be anointed in death. She has foreshadowed that and done what would not have been possible at all. But there's a kind of morbidness to that. And even if it's a prayer for healing, you know, we sometimes don't like that so much. We don't like to look too deeply at our own mortality, at our own brokenness, our illness, our sickness, the places that we need healing. And so to reach out and touch someone and say, I think you're in need of healing, is too intimate and vulnerable and strange, and puts us in touch with our mortality in a way that we don't usually like. Never let them see you bleed or cry or limp or whatever else. Very strange, very strange, and yet very tender and loving and beautiful, this act of grace. And in that way, what she does and what Jesus does are in some senses indistinguishable, because God's act of pouring God's self out into the world in Christ, of living a life like ours, broken and messy and fleshy and all that stuff, it's scandalous, it's shocking, it's rude. It breaks the boundaries of what's expected and acceptable. It touches people across the boundary. God is not supposed to touch humanity. There are whole things in place to make sure that humanity and God never touch. It crosses every boundary. It shocks us. It makes us uncomfortable. It does put us in touch with our own mortality. Those are the times when people really flock to church. Right? When there's a crisis in the world or in their own lives. Or when there's a place where our own mortality is rubbed raw. Maybe we are sick and in need of healing. Maybe we are hurting and grieving. Maybe we're at a threshold moment in our lives and things feel raw or on the brink of change and transformation. These are the moments people individually come to be a part of a church community to try to encounter the holy. Maybe there's been a disaster or devastation or attack in the world around us and we feel vulnerable and raw and our mortality is just out there. And so we come seeking something, but it's a little bit uncomfortable, and it's especially uncomfortable otherwise to have that brush with divinity remind us of how fragile, how vulnerable we are. And in Christ's own fragility and his own vulnerability, joining us in that experience, that is scandalous. It is prophetic. It tells us how God will relate to humanity forever. It foreshadows every action in our lives, this God pouring God's self out for us. And it is love. It is so loving. It is more loving than we really ever grasp. And sometimes we just can't make sense of it. Sometimes we just can't get our heads around it, or our hearts around it. I don't think our heads are ever going to get around it, but we can't get our hearts around it either. This God giving God's self to us, to all the world. Messy, extravagant, costly, so, so costly. More than we can imagine. No price that we can quote. I was in conversation with some colleagues this week, and we were talking about prayer. We were talking about that sort of prayer that is like mindfulness, opening ourselves up to God's presence. And how that's a big part of what we try to do in prayer, is to open ourselves up to God's presence so we can begin to grasp some of this stuff about how extravagant and shocking is God's love for us. But then we said, what about intercessory prayer? What about those prayers for healing, for strength, for hope? There's a certain theological way in which that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to assume that what we say and do and the words we use or our heartfelt longings for something would change the shape and scope of the universe, would heal bodies and spirits. It doesn't make much sense. And yet, in ways we can't explain, in ways we can't even begin to fathom, but that even science can point to in some blind studies about it, and yet it does seem to affect some change. A change in us, a change in the world, a change, who knows where the change is. And yet it does seem to have effect. We can't make sense of it. That's not our job, thankfully, to make sense of it. I can't explain how prayer works or healing works. I can't explain how grace works. I can't explain how or why God would pour God's own self out into the world and be vulnerable like that and be broken like that. But when we see this woman, we know why she does it. She does it from a place of love. She does it moved by her love for Jesus, moved by the love that has been poured into her life. And maybe that is our insight into how and why God does it. For love of us, it is scandalous to think of God emptying God's self for humanity. It is shocking. It is rude. It breaks every boundary. And it is costly. The cost, the price, the God of creation. It is more than we can imagine. It's a little bit morbid. It puts us in touch with our own mortality, our own weakness and vulnerability, and it shows God's weaknesses, God's vulnerability. What is more vulnerable than to love enough to give oneself? That's pretty vulnerable. It is fragile and tender and beautiful, and it is love. Thanks be to God for that.